The scripture verse that just reminds us of what Christmas is all about is John 1:14. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory is of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a child, I used to enjoy Christmas cookies. I would enjoy licking the frosting off of Christmas cookies. Not eating them, I'd leave them for Grandma and Grandpa. But I would lick all the frosting off. And you know what happens when all you eat is frosting? You enjoy, that's right, you enjoy yourself and you just feel good. You've eaten all the... The reality is, of course, it usually leaves a little bit of an inner tummy ache if you eat too much frosting and no cookie or no cake. And it's like that with the world. They want all the frosting of Christmas. They want the light, the tinsel, the glitter. They want all the traditions of family, the tree and the presents and so forth. And don't want the message. They don't want what happened. Why we celebrate. And so, you know, I love Christmas. I enjoy it. We start Christmas music the day after Halloween at our house, and we put up our Hanukkah bush and Christmas tree on the day after Thanksgiving. Every year, we just enjoy it very much, whether we have children coming or grandkids or not. We enjoy it. But I want to just share a couple of the traditions of Christmas, just to remind you of what it's like and where they came from. The first is the 12 days of Christmas. You've heard of that, right? On the first day of, no, we won't sing that one today. With all the with the 15 other or 17 other Christmas songs today, we'll leave that one out. But before 2000 BC in Mesopotamia, there was a festival of the renewal of the sun, because the people saw the sun getting darker and darker. And by the 21st or 22nd of December, it looked like the sun just was not going to ever come back out bright again. And they were very fearful in their pagan worship. And so on December 21st, they would light fires, they would dance and sing and shout, and begin 12 days of feasting and merrymaking, and celebrate the arrival and hope by their noise and their goodwill and their cheer bring back the sun, whom they were worshiping, S-U-N. And it was imitated all over the world. And centuries later, we still talk about the 12th day of Christmas. We talk about Christmas Day, and then 12 days later is Epiphany. Y'all have heard that term? What does Epiphany mean? Just testing your Greek knowledge here. The light's coming. The light shines. And so, and of course, the church said, oh, that's the day the Magi came, you know, because Mary and Joseph met them a few days later. Well, of course, if we read the actual Christmas story, we know that the wise men came 2 years later. Mary and Joseph were in a house in Bethlehem. And it kind of shakes up the manger scene that we have at our house, because we have camels bowing down and Casper the friendly ghost, or what, isn't that one of the wise men's name, Casper, named after our city, or something like that. Anyway, offering gifts in the manger. Well, the 12 days of Christmas continue on. Is it bad to honor that? No. When I was a child, we celebrated the 8 days of Hanukkah. I got a gold coin every day. None of this once on Christmas morning. We got 8 presents. It was great fun. The 12 days of Christmas are a good holiday as long as we remember what it's all about. Not worshiping the sun, S-U-N, but worshiping the sun, S-O-N. How about holly and mistletoe? Well, you know, that was one of my favorite things. It was always a symbol of luck and peace. And in ancient lands in Scandinavia, Germany, and the British Isles, the idea was that the holly would be hung on the door because it was a nice green plant. It would stay green over the doorway all winter long. And by the way, did you know that if it's thorny holly, that means a man is the head of the house. If it's smooth holly, it means the woman is the real leader of the house. If you'd all like some smooth holly, we have a lot at our house. You can do it like that. It was tied to, you know, the church said, oh, the holly used to have white berries on it. But then when Jesus died, some of his blood dripped on a holly plant. Why? And it turned red. And, well, you know, traditions. Is it bad to have holly? No, it's fun. It's a part of our Christmas time. And mistletoe? A parasite growing on the top of trees that the Druids worshipped, and the priest would say prayers up to all of the mistletoe up there, and then cut it down, and virgins in white robes would hold their robes out to catch the mistletoe in their robe before it touched the ground. Then whoever they gave it to would give the kiss of peace. Y'all familiar with the kiss of peace? It's talked about in the Bible. When you meet one another and greet one another, you do it with the kiss of peace. Now, in our church, we kiss, don't we, when we meet each other? I think, well, yes, we do. We kiss like the cue ball kissing off of another ball into the pocket. It's a light touch. We usually do it with our hand shaking. You're not buying that, are you, at all? But, well, anyway, the kiss is there. The armies would hang it up over their places, I remember. Ah, yes, I remember back in our college days, dear. Do you remember this? Our college had rules that, you know, it was horrible just to touch a person of the other sex, much less kiss them. But somehow, all over campus, with mistletoe hanging up over the door of every classroom. I don't know why. Who did that? And but is having holly and mistletoe a bad thing? No. It's a tradition. How about a Christmas tree? In the northern latitudes, the deciduous trees, leaves fall off, and the only trees that stay green, ever green, what would we call those trees? Oh, we call them Christmas trees. I mean, we that's what we do. And in almost all the pagan rituals, they always lit up Christmas trees, put candles on the branches to represent the stars of heaven that would be shining through in the forest. And Martin Luther is credited with being the first Christian leader to bring a Christmas tree into the church and put candles on it. And of course, then everybody has to follow suit. And you're saying, is having a Christmas tree a sin? No. It's a tradition. It's part of our culture, part of our family. Ah, Santa Claus. There was a real Saint Nicholas. He lived in a town by Smyrna in Ephesus, in the area of what would be Western Turkey on the coast. He was part of Greece back in the day. But he devoted his life to giving and caring for others, gathering clothes and food and things that were for the needy. And in 390, he was proclaimed by the church a saint. And everybody talked about this man who would disguise himself and stop at the homes of poor to leave a bundle of clothing or whatever it is. He's the most revered saint in all the world still today. His birthday, by the way, is December 6th, not the 25th. But he's known in every language of the world. Saint Nicholas was corrupted into Saint Naklas. And what do we call him? Santa Claus. But remember, Santa is his nickname. There's a terrible pun there somewhere, but you can groan later. Santa Claus, is that bad? We have to be careful because for many years we had a Santa Claus from the mall that was here in our church every year. And he finally gave up that role and opened a gun shop. Don't even go there. But that's for real. You can't make these things up. Oh, my. The fifth tradition, caroling. Caroling. Everyone loves to sing. Everyone loves, even if you can't sing, and some of you are gifted that way, and you like to go and celebrate. A group that couldn't sing much but wanted to at least go around and make joyful noise were called the Mummers. There's still a Mummers Day Parade in Philadelphia, I believe. They meet together and do that. But they would go out and outside of home and sing carols like we've been singing this morning, and then receive free food or drinks or gifts. And most of the carols, even if you've noticed as we've sung them, say old German carol, old folk tune from Appalachia, old, you know, they're tunes that people knew, and they could be brought into the vernacular. St. Francis of Assisi in Italy, obviously, loved to do that. He said that most people didn't understand Latin. The words in the Mass, and they'd go to church, he said, were just so much hocus pocus, and which is to rhyme with the Corpus Christi, the body of Christ in the Latin, and words like that. And so he assembled a stable, donkeys, a manger. He put the Christmas story into the vernacular, into the common language of the people of Italy, so that they might be able to understand the hymns. We smiled when we sang the first Noel, which is a long Christmas carol. But what does it do? It tells people who don't know the Christmas story, the Christmas story. It's right there, verse after verse, and easy to memorize in the rhyme and the lilt of the tune. Caroling has been used with meaningful words to help explain the message. So when we get an opportunity to sing carols, is that just an evil tradition that Christians shouldn't do? No, it's just part of our Christmas. And the last tradition is giving gifts. The scriptures use the word gift, gifts, or giving 1,000 times in our Bible. 1,000, you can look them up. I took someone's word for it. 1,000 times it's there. Because in times of great joy, gifts were given. People celebrated. They were happy. They shared what they had. Whether it be an apple or an orange and some walnuts, like my stocking was filled with as a little child right after the Second World War and during the Korean War, or whether it's some of the more modern gifts of stuff, it's technical stuff. What do we get? iPods, iPads, iThinks, whatever they are. They're gifts. It's wonderful. When Nehemiah led the Jews back to Jerusalem and worked for 55 days straight to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, we read in Nehemiah 8:10, that when the work of rebuilding was concluded, they gave gifts to one another. In Esther, when the Jews were spared from being killed by the Persian government because of the faith of Esther going and appealing for them, in Esther 9:22, the people gave gifts to one another. In Revelation 11, as the tribulation rages on earth and all hell and wrath of God comes down on this planet, two witnesses stand up and proclaim the truth. They're butchered to death, literally beheaded in the streets of Jerusalem. And the whole world can see it live. Now think about that. That couldn't happen until our generation. I can see Wolf Blitzer and CNN crew right there on the streets with their cameras as they're taking pictures of this happening. And the people were so thrilled because the plagues and the evil that had come on them would now stop because we finally killed those Christians. And they gave presents to one another, Revelation 11, verse 10. You see, when you're happy, happy to kill Christians or happy not to be killed yourself, giving presents is what happens. And the wise men that came to Bethlehem gave gifts of gold, to help the poverty of the family, of frankincense, the anointing oil, and myrrh, the burial spice of the crushed berries from Smyrna, representing that the baby that was born would soon die. The joyful tidings bring gifts. And so is giving gifts a bad thing? I hope not. Is receiving gifts a bad thing? No, we rejoice. We're happy with that. But what I want to leave you with right now is what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. He said, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is what? The great gift of salvation, the gift of God." In 1 Corinthians 7, 7, Paul writes to the people there to serve God and to follow Him and live for Him with all their strength that they have. And it says that every man has his proper gift of God, some for this manner or that, to use however. Some of you have gifts I'll never have. I have gifts that you'll never have. But we're to use them because we're all the gift of God. In 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Live for God now." He said, "Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in you. For God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking." How thankful we should be that God has these gifts for us. And then finally, the most precious gift that's awaiting me and you is found in Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin," what we deserve, "is what? But the gift of God is eternal life only through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's not sinful to have a tree or sing carols or share dinner with your family or, if you have to, kiss under the mistletoe, whatever it might be. It's not a sin. That's part of our past. That's part of our culture, our traditions, our families. Oh, now some of our college kids are looking, they got red in the face when I talked about kissing. And okay, let's watch this here, guys. Our roots, our traditions, they're not evil. But let's not forget the main thing. Let's not get caught up in the lights and the glitter and the tinsel, in the songs and festivities, in the food and the presents, in the twinkling light and the ho-ho-ho echoing down the chimney. We must never, never replace the fact of the wonderful reason for this season, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.